All right, Leafs and Raptors both in action tonight. Our buddy Craig Button will join us here in a moment. Jerry's percentages in half an hour. We'll catch up with Jerry on a Wednesday. And there's a lot going on in the sports world. We're preparing for the divisional round in the NFL, and the teams that were out this weekend, they're all doing the rounds, like the locker cleanout. Mike McCarthy had a quote about an hour ago that is not going over well with Cowboy fans.
Let's hear it.
Well, I just have the quote in front of me. We could find the audio. But he was asked about his number one focus going forward. Like, what do you have to address? Basically a Jim Matheson and Drysdale scenario where, yeah, you know, give us that one thing, Mike, and don't get pissy about it. Just give us the answer. And McCarthy said, quote, our number one focus going forward is the penalties. There were far too many, end quote. And Cowboy fans are naturally and understandably saying, maybe you should have tried to jump on that during the season, Mike. You know, like, it was a problem all year. It destroyed you.
I kind of think, yeah, that coaches can sometimes be responsible. I think this is my dad's philosophy, but, like, defensive kind of structure play coaches responsible for and discipline. Like, you're going to let guys go out there and take those penalties. What are you doing?
Exactly. Like,
can't happen. It's a non-negotiable thing. Cannot happen.
Right. And why would you believe that you were going to be the one to address it properly? If you're the GM or the owner, who happens to be the same guy, because Jerry Jones doesn't know what the hell he's doing in Dallas, which doesn't come up enough when they lose. The fact that the guy's the owner and the GM, it never comes up enough. It's always Dak and Mike McCarthy, and the league is against us. How about the fact that you have an owner who pretends to be the GM?
It's his fantasy team. That's what it is.
It really
basically
is. But if you're Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy did not address the lack of discipline all year, why would you believe all of a sudden this guy's going to figure it out? Like, I'm sure you guys saw it, and I didn't play pro sports, but the idea of a coach trying to change from good cop to bad cop, does it ever work? Like, can you ever change your stripes? Like, once you've determined who you are and your approach, why would the guys take you seriously if you try to change it on the fly?
No kidding. Go ahead, Noodles.
Sorry, it's part of it, roster construction. Do they have people that are taking bad penalties that are either selfish or, you know, or who don't buy into a team structure? All I can think of is, there was 2 years in a row, I think the Winnipeg Jets were close to the highest penalized team in the league. Paul Maurice was the coach. And then they changed the focus of, like, hey, we need to smarten up. And then they were near the bottom of the league as far as penalized play. A lot of that is who you have on the team who takes stupid penalties or untimely penalties. That comes back to the manager, you know, putting those players on the team. But I have had coaches that have said, I'm going to hold you more accountable. But that stuff, like, I think Cowboy fans have a leg to stand on. Do that in week three if somebody's acting up and being an idiot or taking bad penalties or undisciplined, and find some form of accountability so that it doesn't hurt you in a playoff game. And what did they take, 14 penalties the other day?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's just stupidity, right? Like that. And a lot of it is, you know, false starts and holds and stuff. And
right,
that can be the moment getting to you as opposed to a coach. But speaking of it, though, on the other side of it, you see Bruce Arians got fined $50,000?
Dude, that went under the radar. I'm surprised that he didn't get lambasted for that. Just absolutely stiff-arming one of his players right in the mask.
Yeah, he smacked him pretty good.
Dude, that was under the – that usually leads SportsCenter, coach hitting player.
Well, if that was in college, it would, because it would have been people yelling and screaming that grown men are hitting kids – and they're not getting paid. The fact that Adams is a professional and other stuff, you know, in the NFL, the page turns over, that game ends, you go to the next one, then you move on. But it was a bad look for Arians. And I think from an optical standpoint and from a players association standpoint, the league, you can't have that. You can't have a coach come on the field and smack their own player in the head.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's one thing to yell and scream. That's pro sports. You know, that's the way. And I don't need that taken out. I don't want that taken out. But going out there and smacking a guy to effectively tell him to stop messing around, that is a bridge too far. That wasn't a good look for
Aaron. No, it's a bad look. You're right. But it flew under the radar because all the other different storylines, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are storylines that kind of get lost in the shuffle. Now, it's made the rounds because the league shined a light on it and said it's unacceptable. So 50,000 less. I mean, you know, it's more the act of it. Certainly didn't hurt him, gives him a little whack on the helmet, but it's just the optics of it are awful. It looks bad.
Yeah.
It did look bad. So,
and Arians has got, doesn't he have a ruptured Achilles or something? He's waddling around.
He does not look like he's wheeling around too good.
Bad wheel, for sure.
He's not looking overly healthy on that sideline, but he's battling through. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
So the Leafs are in New York playing the Rangers tonight. And it's always fun at the Garden, right? It's a great rink and original six battle. And two good teams, two teams going to the playoffs. We said this earlier that the top eight are pretty much established in the East, where you kind of know where it's going. It's just a matter of jockeying for position. But it's going to be a fun one tonight to tee that up. And to get into our most recent conversation, we're joined now by our good buddy, our TSN hockey analyst. Here's Craig Button joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. You guys have all the answers, though, don't you?
We always do. Yeah. We always. Why are you so pissy, Craig?
You know everything, Craig. So you know everything, pal.
Why are you so pissy?
What do you make of that, Steve? How do you see that blowing over in Edmonton?
It'll blow over. It'll blow over just like, you know, when the cold weather comes through and it's minus 45. You know, the days are a little frosty now between Jim and Leon. But, you know, hey, listen, in any type of relationship, there's going to be different points in time where, you know, something boils over. And I think that that's what happened yesterday. And, you know, it just happened to play out publicly. But, you know, they're good people and they're mature. And I think that we can all talk about, hey, it wasn't a great look. But that doesn't mean that, you know, one incident stains them forever. You just find a way to make amends, and I think they both will.
Yeah, Craig, I listen, you and I were on That's Hockey with Gino last night, and you were articulated that basically saying that, you know, I think both of those guys made mistakes. I didn't like how Leon was a bit dismissive, and I understand that, but I didn't like the way that Jim Matheson, you know, used the word pissy and kind of came back at him. And, you know, he'd set him up for a question that you really, you know, couldn't answer. I thought Leon answered it saying, we need to work on everything. If he just would have said, Jim, you know what, to be honest, we need to work on everything right now, and I don't have a specific answer for you, then I think it would have been left alone. So there was enough culpability on both sides. But I wanted to get a little farther. Have you had exchanges in your, you know, tenure as a manager and scout and all that with media members that you've had to sort out?
Not that I can, you know me, I'm a pleasant guy. I'm easy to get along with, right? So what I would say is you're going to have those moments. I never had any, I can't know any public moments. There's a couple of times I remember Gord Miller tells this story all the time. I was the manager in Calgary. And we had drafted a goaltender from Russia. He won two gold medals in 02 and 03. Medvedev was his last name. Andrei Medvedev. Well, yeah. I mean, he was, he had some fitness issues on the other side, not about getting stronger, but about losing weight and everything. Anyway, Gord made a comment about the gingerbread, that they awarded the gingerbread house to the player of the game. And anyway, Andrei Medvedev. Andrei Medvedev, and it was the player of the game, and he got the gingerbread house, and Gord made a comment. He says, well, he goes, that might get eaten before Andrei gets back to the dressing room. And so it was one of those comments. And I remember, and Gord tells it, he says, oh, God, he goes, I saw you coming, and I could see that you were not coming to say, hi, how are you? And, you know, I just said, hey, come on. Like, you know, I know what you're doing. It's kind of funny, but the kid just won player of the game. We don't have to make an issue. But, you know, it was more about just, and I think that if Jim and Leon, you know, if there was friction between them, it gets ironed out a lot easier face to face and in person than it does over Zoom. And I think that, you know, that was probably a contributing factor as well. And, you know, certainly, you know, you don't want to try to resolve problems or conflict over the phone or by Zoom. And, you know, I think that, you know, you try to do it just in a real amicable way, and you understand and you move on.
We're chatting with Craig Button. So the Leafs are in New York tonight. And Leon Draisaitl, for my money, I got McDavid at number one, best player in the world. And I would have Draisaitl at number two. But I'm curious what your list would look like, Craig, and who's coming for that spot. You know, if we're putting McDavid in his own category, Is Draisaitl at two? Is it McKinnon for you? Could Matthews be in that conversation? If so, how close? And if he keeps scoring like this, how does he avoid that conversation?
Well, I think they're all worthy of being discussed. I think they're all in the discussion. And I think the other part of this, too, is this, we better start thinking about some other guys. And I think Victor Hedman, what he did last night in L.A. and what he's done this entire year, what Cale Makar continues to do, I think they deserve to be in the conversation. I think McDavid, you can draw a line under him, just like we have with other previous players that have the run, at the top with their scoring exploits and their performance. So, but after that, I think all those guys deserve to be in the conversation. And, Jamie, I'm with you on this one. I think Vasilevsky deserves to be in it too.
Well, I mean, we just had a list last hour with Al's brother, and, he had Aaron Donald on his list as, and certainly a defensive tackle who's so dominant, but it was position specific. So it was almost like saying, yeah, the best goalie in the world in hockey is Vasilevsky, but McDavid's the best hockey player. So it's, that's something that comes into it where, I think Vasilevsky's the best goaltender on this planet. But, it's hard to quantify. Is he the best hockey player? Is he in a top five of the most impactful hockey players? If you're having that conversation with Matthews and McKinnon and Makar and Hedman and McDavid, Vasilevsky has to be in there. It just, how much do you value goaltending as opposed to if you value the overall, just game of hockey?
Ask the Edmonton Oilers how much they value goaltending.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. But I think you use a great word, Jamie, and it's impactful. Like, you think about who can impact the game in such a significant way. So, Al's brother talks about Aaron Donald. We know McDavid. We know Makar, Hedman. One of the things with the women's Olympic tournament coming up, and, Finland has the best boy on the planet in Noora Ratu. And she didn't play in the World Championships because she was running a hockey school. But, we just went through an exercise of just naming the top 25 female players in the world. And I think Noora Ratu is the third best player because of her impact. That's after Poulin and Decker for me, but Brianna Decker of the U.S. But, Noora Ratu, when you use the word impact, I think that those are the types of players it can make a discernible difference to winning and losing, and more on the side of winning than losing.
Craig, the Montreal Canadiens got a new GM, and all people are talking about is who's leaving and who's staying, Carey Price, blah, blah, blah. They're brutal. Like, they're as bad as it gets. Like, is it just call me and ask about a guy because you might get him? Because, I don't know, you got to rebuild. I wouldn't be keeping much, but you still have to feel the team. How do you kind of break that down and decipher what you want to do?
Well, and you have to field a team, with a salary cap number too, Jess. And, that becomes a factor as well, right? So, to get to a floor, you have to spend some money. I mean, there's no question that there's players in Montreal that would be desirable, especially now. You think of Ben Chiarot, there's no way that he's not moving at the deadline. But are there teams interested in Jeff Petry and his contract? I don't think there's any question you'd be interested in Jeff Petry, but it's the contract. Then you start to look at other players. What is their contract? What is the impact of their contract on a team's salary cap? So I think that those are some of the challenges that the Montreal Canadiens go through, but they have some players that are desirable. Just are the contracts as desirable? I mean, it's easy to say the UFAs like Chiarot are going to be desirable, but at the same time, you're right. You've got to start setting your sights on the future and how you're going to field a team that can be competitive, not the team that's been playing this year, because you're right. I mean, they're at the bottom of the league, in all the years, and I think I've never seen a Montreal Canadiens team this bad, and it's bad.
Yeah, historically bad. This is not a franchise known for being at the bottom of the well, and that's precisely where they are. The other original six team, or one of the other original six teams, going at it in New York against the Leafs tonight, that would be the Rangers. And that's where Jeff Gorton was before he got to Montreal. And we all remember the famous letter they sent out to ticket holders and fans and, give us a break here. We're going to take a step back and reload. And I would say that worked out pretty well. They're in a good spot. Do you consider the Rangers cup contenders, or like where are they in terms of this process of building back up?
Well, and you know, one thing I want to add to that, Brian, is that when you look at the Rangers, when they did that, that was only 4 years ago. It was in the spring of 2018 that they sent that letter out. So you send out that letter to try to, you know, condition the fans to say, hey, here's what we're at. They had some good players in the system, some younger players that they knew were coming. Obviously, they ended up with some higher draft picks. But when you put it all together and you start to evaluate, you know, where they're at, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're a cup contender yet, because I think that there's still some areas of their team that need to be better. And, you know, when you start to look at that, I mean, not goaltending, Shesterkin, you talked about a heater, you talked about MSG. I mean, this guy is lights out brilliant on Broadway. But, you know, they have a good team, but, you know, I think when we see a good team perform, they might be at the same stage that the Colorado Avalanche were a couple of years ago. You saw their team. You said they're good. I think they need to go through some of the experiences. Maybe they can come out of them on the other side successfully. I think it's a little bit too early, in my view, to call them a serious Stanley Cup contender, but they're a good team.
Yep. It'll be a fun one tonight. It always is with these two teams. It'll be a blast down there. Enjoy that game, Craig, and the other games on the slate. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
There's Craig Button joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. You mentioned Vasilevsky, and I saw this stat earlier because of what Freddie Anderson did last night. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Right.
And I'm wondering if this is kind of like wins, like pitching wins, which is a stat that's somewhat antiquated, doesn't really get brought up that much in terms of evaluating a pitcher and the success, because you need run support to win the game. You need to stay in, you know, later in innings to win the game, and the game has changed so much in baseball. But Freddie Anderson picked up his 20th win of the regular season in his 26th start. That puts him in the history books. The fastest, really impressive. The fastest to ever do it was Tiny Thompson back in 29-30. He did it in 23 games. But Vasilevsky's on the list twice. He's on the list two times. He did it last year in 24 games. He did it a few years ago in 25. But what, again, I think makes this list somewhat misleading is you need to be on a great team. Like, yeah, you have to be a very good goalie and playing well, because Louis Domingue is on it. Louis Domingue did it in Tampa in 2018, 2019. So if you're on Tampa or Carolina, you're naturally going to get more wins.
That was crazy. Sure. Louis Domingue did that in Tampa, and they somehow smelt the rat, and they're like, we like that and everything, but you're gone.
They moved past him and signed Curtis McIlhenny.
Like, I was like, this guy's taking over as the number one guy, and Louis Domingue is the next thing, and they were like, we like it, but we see through it, and you're out. And then the guy never made a save the rest of his life.
But that's, yeah, I mean, he played the other day. I don't know if you saw that stat. He was the 101st goaltender to play in the NHL this year. There's been 101 goalies that have played in a game, in an NHL game. I mean, Joseph Woll
here. We talked about it, man. Right. We talked about it yesterday. I would spend millions and millions for people to fly around the world and find goaltenders.
Well,
like, I know Columbus has got a program set up where apparently they have the goaltender whisperers there, and they consistently bring in guys that are real. I would spend the most. I would dump so much money into it.
Yeah, goaltender development programs now are worth so much. Organizations have them. They just didn't become public like Florida did. Florida actually made a press announcement and said, hey, Roberto Luongo, we got Rob Talas, we got Leo Luongo. Like, they've got some smart goaltending people in that development situation in Florida. And they had all of that. They had Bobrovsky on a seven years left at $10 million a year. Like, they're looking for goaltenders actively. Like, Columbus has a deep stable. Obviously, they had one pass away this summer, unfortunately. But, like, they, you know, they've got good goaltenders coming. That's why you keep hearing, you know, is Korpisalo available? Elvis is there. They got this kid, Tarasov, is coming. Like, they've got good goaltenders. It's the amazing thing. Go find me the next Binnington. Go find me somebody that is, you know, fourth on the depth chart because somebody is there. And that's the biggest challenge. And to your point, what you're saying, how much would you spend on that? How much would you spend on finding a guy in somebody's system who's buried behind, you know, two good goaltenders somewhere? I thought it was going to be Zach Fucali. I kind of had my eye on him. Got his first start this year. He got pulled the other night. But, like, you know, he's a guy who's fallen through the cracks. He was drafted by Montreal.
Yeah,
you know,
second you're not rounder, going, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah,
high draft. I went and watched him play in the East Coast League here in Brampton. Yeah, like, Brampton, you know, that wasn't that long ago. But, you know, I'd like to see some of these kids get pushed through if they find the right situation. But you've got to have
so many jobs, too,
exactly,
right? And
exactly.
You got to be in the right spot. And I do think Freddie Anderson, Freddie's a very good goalie. He was very good in Toronto. Last year was a weird year that got away from him. The playoff history, I think, a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde. 90% of it was very solid, very good. Biggest moments, biggest games, not so good. Couldn't get you a stop. But I don't know if he performs the exact same way he does in Carolina right now if he remained in Toronto. Like, it felt like he needed to get out. You know, it felt like he had to go somewhere different. He's gone to a better team. You know, Carolina is at least as good as the Leafs, if not better. Like, they're a very good team.
Damn good, man.
He just gets to settle in there, and he's picking up wins. His stats are very good. Well, I mean, it's not like he's got an .890 save percentage, and they're scoring their way out of the problems.
No, here's the other thing, too. Whether you believe in it or not, even if it's 5%, there's no light on him. So, you know, we're not talking about Freddie Anderson and his health and concussions and what's Freddie doing.
Or what's he going to do in the playoffs?
Playoff success. That's the thing, playoff success. But there's, what, 5 scribes that cover Carolina? Like, there's not 50 that are writing articles going, waiting for Freddie to melt. You know, like, it will come at the playoffs when Carolina, if they go on a big run, certainly there'll be questions and lights on Frederick Anderson.
Yep.
But, you know, the market is obviously, we know it. Toronto's louder, gets more exposure, gets you know, it's the biggest fan base, all of that type of stuff. I think he's just enjoying playing hockey and having success in Carolina.
And he's healthy, and he's out there and winning.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, speaking of not getting a lot of attention, the fact that the president and CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is walking away, and that announcement came out yesterday.
I saw that.
And Michael Friesdale is just not getting that much attention, speaks to what he accomplished for 6 years, where he didn't do an interview. He didn't show up on a Zoom call.
Dude, I didn't even know who the guy was.
Honestly, the ghost of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and he's been running that operation, in large part because who he took over for in Tim Leiwicki, and I don't think it was a coincidence. I get the impression, like, the ownership group told the new guy, we don't want that. You know, like, Leiwicki couldn't wait to get out there and speak. And we had Leiwicki on shows. He was doing Al's Brothers podcast. You know, like, Tim Leiwicki was willing to go on anywhere at any time and speak and talk big and boisterous. And I loved it. And I think he's got a legacy that will last the test of time. I think he did a spectacular job here. But that's a massive gig. The president and CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment just quietly kind of announces, I'm out. I'm out at the end of the month, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And they'll start searching.
Is that what you're looking for, those? Like, is that what you're looking for from that guy? Don't know him, don't see him, just runs the business.
I think so. If you specifically with the Leafs and Raptors, I guess, those are the two biggest teams, clearly. Let Shanahan and Ujiri figure it out. You know, let Webster and Dubas speak. Because Leiwicki would step on the other guy's toes sometimes, you know, and be like, this team's not good enough. And it's like, you're a suit. Like, what are you – you're telling – the hockey or basketball guy that they don't have good enough players, even though maybe he was speaking on behalf of the fans who were looking at it the same way. But Friesdahl, I don't remember seeing him at any press conferences or anything.
But
like, just nothing. He was a ghost.
He's probably the genius behind the curtain. Like, brilliant businessman, you know, able to take a look at things and just get it sorted out from an analytical and business standpoint. I mean, you know what I think of that? Obviously, you know, Kyle Dubas is a smart guy. Brandon Prinham is a really, really smart man. Like, when's the last time? I mean,
them do interviews, though.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, half the fan base who walk by him on the street have no idea this guy is, you know, a big part of the brains behind the operation.
Right.
You know, like, he's a very, very smart man. But, like, that, you know, Friesdahl, same type of thing. I think they're like, hey, just do your job. You don't need to be. And that might be his personality.
That might have been the nature of his personality anyway.
Right.
Yeah, like, exactly. Because it's a high-profile gig. You're the president and CEO. Like, Richard Petty, everyone knew Richard Petty.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knew him. Everyone knew Tim Leiwicki.
But
Tom Anselmi was a household name for Toronto sports fans.
I love Tom. But I think the, you know, I was thinking about it today, actually. That's funny you brought it up. Like, there are people that are front and center every day. Because I was thinking about the Draisaitl thing. And it's like, all right, you know, march them out again. They don't play for 4 days. And it's like Draisaitl interviewed. And, you know, people don't want to hear from Derek Ryan. They want to hear from Draisaitl. I get that. But, like, when's the last time we had TJ Brody on once? Like, you know what TJ Brody does? Plays good hockey. Doesn't care about, you know, fanfare and all that. I'm sure his family does and his friends and all that. But, like, there are just people, it's in their nature. They just don't care about that side, the attention that comes with, you know, the limelight. And doesn't make them bad people. It just makes them, you know, really good at their craft. And that's just part of their nature. And I just was thinking about that with that exchange about Draisaitl. And then, you know, in this market, you know, we hear from a lot of players a lot of times. But, like, there are certain guys who just don't enjoy it. And once in a while you hear from them. It's like seeing a ghost. Like, when's the last time TJ Brody was interviewed?
No, it doesn't. He might do some intermission stuff every once in a while because he's a veteran on term. But
when he scored a couple goals recently and stuff like that. But, like,
he's not a guy you're – listen, you can't get to the locker room anymore anyway. So everything's over Zoom. That's another part of it.
Right. That's
but
true.
The Leafs don't really have anyone that's overly talkative. You know, like Wayne Simmons is a good quote. Jason Spezza is a good quote. Muzzin will give you something.
Morgan Riley's good.
Morgan Riley will. Jack Campbell, you know. Yeah. But, like, the big – like, Tavares is never going to give you much. Matthews always looks like he's just kind of disinterested or not.
Dude, I was in the same boat. It was like, I don't dislike these people because they're generally nice people. But I found myself taking my gear off a little bit quickly to avoid it. And that's just the nature of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
– I don't know why. It's just that's – and if anybody else – says they welcomed it and they sat around. Tux was good. Tux liked talking to the media. He would always purposely have half of his gear still on to talk to the people. he loved it with his hat on sideways. Yeah. And he was, he liked doing it. But I think for the majority of the people, it was, I'm going to get my stuff off pretty quickly here because the herd's coming and I'm out of here.
Yeah. I played with a guy who conveniently, like, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but, like, he was always a quote. Like, I'm like, that guy played 3 minutes tonight. He's, like, breaking down the power play.
It was
pretty funny. Like, was always in there and always quotable. Really good guy, but just he found his way
into
– Well, the best was there's always that guy, but Tux was one of the most popular guys in the team and always will be. But the guy that sits around and takes the top gear off and sits there kind of waiting, and then the media just walks right by the guy because they don't want to hear what he has to say.
I know. That hurts.
That's a when greasy
you're,
one.
You're
That's
in the
tough.
Mood for it, and they're like, we just don't really care.
Yeah, we're good.
No, we're
good.
We're not. There's 30 people
stories.
Here. There's no one in the locker room, but we're still walking by you.
Yeah. Oh, looks like no one's left in here. It's like, no, I'm still here.
The best part is you know what they do? Oh, is they go and ask him, can you go and get Darcy Tucker for me? Like, I got one more question to ask him. Like,
anybody
hey, man,
else back there?
Yeah. You go and get, you know, like,
can we get
that's what happens.
Come on. Figure it out, boys. Come on. All right. Jerry's percentage is coming up. Jerry, I'm sure he's got things to say. He'll have hot takes like he always does. So we'll catch up with Jerry and Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, still to come. The Raptors in action tonight. We'll tee that up. Jerry's percentage is next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, it is. It is Jerry. And Jerry's percentages. Every once in a while, we catch up with Jerry on a Wednesday, and today just happens to be that day. So we know he's always spitting fire. He's got takes, and generally he's got something to say off the bat. So why waste any more time? You guys ready to hear from Jerry this afternoon?
Right to it. Let's go,
yep,
Jerry.
Let's do it.
This will be short and sweet because Jerry's going to the Garden tonight to boo the Maple Leafs with Pauly D, the DJ. And if the Rangers win, Jerry's going to put on an absolute clinic post-game at Scores. And you know exactly what I mean.
Jerry at Scores.
Is that place still around?
Yeah, I was just going to say, is it still open?
So famous back in the day, but I don't know if it is.
Dude, that place has got to be one of the most expensive places to go on Earth.
Absolutely.
It was like hunch to get in the door, a hunch to check your coat, a hunch to this goon that brings you to your seat. It's like,
yeah,
If you don't have 4,000 in your pocket, you're not having a good time. Like,
no, it's, but that's New York, right? If you're in New York and you got money, I'm sure it's a place that you might check out from time to time. Yeah. But who knows? Who knows if it survived COVID? Who knows what's going on down there? All right, so Jerry's going to the game tonight. Let's get to the takes.
Leon Draisaitl will get pissy with the Florida Panthers tomorrow night and dominate the game with a minimum two-point night. Take that, Timmy Matheson.
Stop it.
Jerry, that's not appropriate.
Minimum two-point night, Florida?
And a domination for Leon Draisaitl tomorrow night.
I'm going to go 45% because I think that Florida Panthers are the worst team you want to see right now. They are clubbing teams, like clubbing teams.
And what worries me, I'll just jump on that, is they got thumped last night. They're going to be angry. Like, they, Calgary beat them 5-1. So, like, they're not feeling sorry for the Edmonton Oilers. If anything, they're just going to be pissed. That's what worries me on that front. But I do think Draisaitl will get the points. So, what did you say, 45?
Yeah, I think 45%.
I think he's going to get points. I'm not guaranteeing a win on Edmonton's side, but
that's
I'm guaranteeing that I think Draisaitl will get points tomorrow night. Absolutely. I'm 71% on that.
Yeah, I'm high on this. Everyone loves him as a player. I think he understands he's on the spotlight. I think he and McDavid have to give each other a nod and say, smarten up. Like, they haven't been good enough. They got to be better. And right. Florida can score with the best of them, but it's not as if it's, you know, the 78 Canadians on the back end. You know, like defensively, they can give it up and get a little bit leaky. I'm going to go 90%. I think there's two parts to this. One, I think he gets the points. I think he's dominant tomorrow night. I don't know if he's going to win because his goalie may be awful. And when he's not on the ice, and McDavid's not on the ice, that team is awful. Like, that's the stats are there. You can see it. When the two of them are off the ice, the team struggles. And Florida might pick away at that. But I think Draisaitl steps up. I think he had to anyway. I think what happened yesterday may be that much more of an inspiration. Not that he needs it. I'm high on this, 90%.
Jabby's keeping a close eye on Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment because the next head honcho will be somebody that loves the spotlight and seeks out the spotlight. Basically, Jimmy Lewicki 2.0.
Jimmy Lewicki 2.0.
I don't think they ever go there. I don't think they want that. I don't think they've seen it. They don't want it. They prove they don't want it. 4%. 4%. They get some slick Rick in there. That's.
I want it. I love it. I loved Lewicki. Lewicki was awesome. Like, he was a great blast to cover. He's a great interview. And he did amazing things.
Yeah, but they don't care that you want it.
I understand that. I understand that. And that's
I think they want no part of it, 4%.
I'm low on this, too. I get that impression that Rogers, Bell, although you never know what's going on over in Rogers, you know, what they're looking for, who they might be looking for. And I'm wondering if that's a coincidence. You know, the power struggle over there and the fact that this just happened, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I think you're right. I think they prefer quiet. I think they'd prefer to allow the big dogs with the respective teams to be the face of it all, the voice of it all. I'll say 15%. You know, because maybe it comes upon someone naturally. Whoever gets the gig, maybe they didn't realize, you know, he or her were going to develop into a media star. So I'll say 15%.
I'm low on it. I'm 8%. I just think that they're going to get somebody who can do the job. You're right. It might be an added bonus, but I think it's few and far between. You're not going to see a Timmy Lewicki.
Jerry's loving the Tiger Woods conspiracy theory, so I'll jump on board with this doozy. Tiger Woods plays St. Andrews and packs up shop forever and ever. Might have a few little chores and missions around the town of St. Andrews before he leaves.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of any Perkins diners in St. Andrews, but he's jumping on that theory. Jerry believes it. He'll play at St. Andrews, and that'll be it. See you later.
I'm going to go 52% just because there's some people leaking it out, and I don't think they were supposed to. Guys like Lee Trevino. Like, you saw him and Tiger talking on the range. Maybe or there, maybe Lee was
Why would
just
Tiger
like,
tell Lee Trevino about his dude, plans to retire?
And it was clickbait. Range. It was some golf Twitter
Lee Trevino.
Lee Trevino.
Dude, they were on the range. And maybe Lee's just like, where do you think he is? And he might have just said, I'm going to St. Andrews and that's it. Because the clickbait I jumped on was Lee Trevino knows when Tiger's playing. And that was the story. It was like, he's going to St. Andrews, teeing it, and he's done.
Is Lee Trevino the one from Billy Madison that kept shaking his head?
Yes, that's yeah. Lee Trevino.
Yeah.
Butch Adams did have a beard or whatever it was.
Is Lee
Grizzly
Trevino
Adams.
The one from Billy Madison?
Yeah, Grizzly I mean, Adams. Obviously, he played with his son. And, like, I love him. He's a great grinder. But I just
great player, Lee Trevino.
Just he's not the insider of
no
the
chance.
The course. Like that's the funny part about that. Like it's just what Lee Trevino says. Like all of a sudden he's an insider out of nowhere.
Exactly. Like Tiger, yeah. Tiger's sheltered, and maybe they. I'm sure they go way back, and Tiger, I'm sure, has immense respect for Lee Trevino.
Yes.
I just find it hard to believe he's working on a short game on the range, calls over Lee, and says, yeah. "Just so you know, but no yeah. one else." I'm going to St. Andrews and then retiring. I don't picture that being.
Dude, it could have been driving range talk.
Maybe it was. I'm so low on this. It's maybe this is part of my bias, and I don't want to believe it. I'll say 5%. I just don't think he's going to determine that right now. Like, because what if he shows up at St. Andrews and plays really well? Why would you make that determination beforehand that you're done? Unless you know you can't play. Which means he's going to show up there and shoot, what, an 87, 89 and pack it in? I don't picture that. I didn't see that at the PNC. I don't see it on the range when he's hitting balls. I don't think he's going to predetermine St. Andrews, his favorite course, play the Open and hang it up. I think his play will determine that, and I'm not sure he's reached that point. So I'm low on this.
I'm low on it, too. I'm like 4%.
All right. Not buying the Lee Trevino conspiracy theory. Okay,
so
moving
awesome.
On. What else do you have?
Jabby's expecting a shootout in Kansas City this weekend with the Bills and Chiefs combining for well over 60 total points. Carlo's head might pop off. Bang!
You can't steal that, man. It's like stealing Yes Guy, No Guy. That is owned by Taddy, and Bang is owned by Carlo. Not allowed. 60. The total is 54.5 last time I checked out of Vegas.
Sometimes the hype, though, it turns into a low-scoring weather kind of. This is calling for 60 points?
Jerry's saying a combined 60. So,
no
you
way.
Know, 25%. Yeah.
25%. I've seen it too many times where it's like high powered. And then the realization of the moment and the magnitude of the moment takes over. And it's like, it's 21-10, you know, I'm not buying it. Not happening. 10%.
Yeah, I'm low on it too. Well, you said, did you say 25% or 10?
10.
All right. I'm a little higher than that. I'll go 15. But
yeah,
I'm still
I think
very
it's,
low on it.
I'm low on it too because I think the defenses are quality too. Let's not put that past them. Buffalo's
right.
defense is very good. The Chiefs' defense the second half of the season was outstanding. So I think Vegas is leading you on with a high number. 54.5 is a big total for a playoff game because everyone saw Mahomes and Allen last week. But these defenses are not the same as what we saw in against Pitt or against the Pats or just the way the game played out. So I'm closer to 50% though because they are explosive. I mean, these are two of the very best quarterbacks in the game. Mahomes, I believe, is, as my list suggested about an hour ago. But I'll say 49%. I'm going to go just under 49%. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, but I could see 28-27, you know, 31-27. I think it'll be close to 60, but I'll go just under at 49%.
The Vancouver Canucks will finish with more points than at least one of Calgary or Edmonton. And Brucey will be loving it. Bruce, there it is. Bruce, there it is.
All right, Jerry, I like it. Jumping on that bandwagon. Bruce, there it is. He's got all they got to do is pass one. By the end of the year, Jerry's saying Vancouver will pass one of Edmonton or Calgary.
I'm low on
this. This is a tough one.
I'm going to say, I mean, Pedersen's starting to wake up. He's got 3 goals in his last 2 games.
About time.
Scored his 10th last night.
He has been terrible
all year. Yeah, scored his 10th last night. But he's, I don't know. I mean, Calgary is a good team. I think Edmonton will get it together. I'm low on this. I'm 17%.
Okay.
Still a chance because, I mean, they're right there. But there's a little bit of games in hand, but not that much.
Edmonton and Calgary both have 4 games in hand on Vancouver. So,
yeah, but they're going to play each other a few times too,
right?
So there might be, like, you know, but there is 4 games in hand. I'm that's why I'm lower on this.
Okay.
I think it's 50-50. They can make a run and just punt somebody. I really do. Brucey, there it is, can just keep rocking. And they could pull it off, man. I'm going to go 50%, 52%.
Just
52,
on the other side.
I know you will not allow a 50% on this segment. Mm-hmm. I'll go 52. Like, they were garbage in the start of that road trip. They got dummied by Florida, Tampa, Carolina. Then they picked up wins in Wash and Nashville.
The Washington one was impressive on a back-to-back. That was
sure.
an impressive win.
Right.
I'm going to say 45%. I'll be just on the other side of that 50 for you. It's a coin toss right now. I mean, those teams have games in hand, but they're going to go up
against each
other.
Look, Hayes, it's what we're talking about here is can they get in an Edmonton chart? So
Edmonton seems likely, but Calgary's hit the skids here a little bit too. I mean, last night notwithstanding, they had a tough road trip themselves.
They've built up enough street cred though, where they can respond better.
Yep, yeah, it feels like it's Vancouver or Edmonton, and right now they're a point ahead of them. But Edmonton's got 4 games in hand, so you know, take that for what it's worth. But even Winnipeg, like Winnipeg's played the same amount of games as Calgary and Edmonton, and Winnipeg's right there in the mix too. You could include them.
Yeah.
Right? Like Winnipeg, they lost. They battled back to get a point last night. But they're not exactly flying either. Like the 4 Western
Ehlers
Canadian hit, teams.
Ehlers is going to be out for a bit.
Like right.
That was a greasy knee on knee. So by Orlov. So that didn't get a lot of play. I mean, Orlov got suspended today, I think, or he's having a hearing. I didn't see the suspension
yet. I haven't seen that come through.
That'll come out right away, I imagine. Usually it comes out by 6 o'clock. But that was you know, Ehlers a pretty good player for them.
Really good player.
So,
yep.
You know, that's
no, that,
a,
that
that's
hurts.
A big blow
like
for
the 4 Canadian Western, the Western Canadian teams, they got to get going, man. You got to get some Canadian content in there.
Yeah.
And you know, the California teams, I'm not buying it right now that everything's going to be like Anaheim's played 41 games.
Well, Anaheim, LA, and San Jose are all in those spots, right?
Right. Like and Anaheim's lost 3 in a row now, and
well, they might have a reset. Like the thing is health. And some of those young kids, like as we were talking about yesterday too, like Troy Terry's in goal-scoring race. Like, mm-hmm. Is he going to hold pace? Is the team going to continue? Are they going to trade some assets away? You know, regardless.
True, they don't feel like it's their time anyway.
Right, and they've got an interim GM. Like, they don't have a GM. Like,
that's
I don't even know what their owner's saying. Like, are you going to go for it? You're not. Like, they've got some question marks there. You know, it'll be interesting
to
see.
Yep, for sure. So there it is, Jerry's percentages. Shout out to Jerry. We've got Darren Dreger coming up, our hockey insider. Josh Leuenberg, our Raptors reporter on the Raptors in Dallas tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So we'll get to our golf picks later this afternoon. They're in Palm Springs, the American Express. Pretty good group of players out there. And I saw Rafa Nadal was being asked about staying in shape. You know, he's 35 years old, and he's jacked, man. You look at him. Like, he's always been a guy who's in incredible shape, needless to say.
He
plays a sport like
that.
He's
like an animal, too. Like,
really does. Yeah, really does. And he was asked about, you know, how he stays in shape, and he said he's never been a gym guy. He plays golf. He's a golfer. Loves to tee it up.
How does that get you in shape, though?
That's the problem. Like, clearly he doesn't ride a cart.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
got to
be
the course.
Answer. Yeah,
you know,
maybe that's what keeps him in shape.
50-bag dumbbell, puts it in his bag, and carries it around.
There are people that do that will wear weights, Noodles, that are like basically freaks when it comes to fitness and all that, will play golf with weights.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I mean,
it
I've
is. I've heard of that before.
Yeah, that's
speed
it.
Golf's cool, too.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen,
speed
man.
Speed golf.
Raf is playing golf. He's just like us, built the same way, just a few Adonises. Rafa, O'Neal, and Hayes. Does that make sense?
What if he wanted to play with you guys, but you were like, hey, he was like, we're going to walk it. We're walking the course.
Oh, I would clearly do that. In a
I play with walkers every day because I refuse to walk.
That's the
everybody
worst part
I play with walks.
Yeah, when you're a cart guy and you're impatient on the course anyway, and you
right.
have to wait for people to walk.
Dude, I just love that. I'm not impatient. I just don't want to be out in the course for 4:45. It's not normal.
Well, that it's I'll not... grant you. No one wants to be out there for 4:45.
No.
But if it were up to you, you'd play at what, 2:45, 3, 3:15, right?
Yeah.
3:15 is perfect. It doesn't take that long to play golf, even if you're not that good. You hit it, you find it, you hit it again. It should be
over. Pick it up if you're having a choppy hole.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Take an 8. Go ahead, take an 8.
All right. We're tracking our poll question up on Twitter about playing Wordle. And it's a tight race, man. There's a
really?
Lot of votes coming in. Yeah, we'll update you on that in the next hour. Dreg's coming up. Josh Lewenberg coming up. There it is up on TSN4. 55% saying no Wordle.
Guarantee you Dreg's has never played it.
Well, we'll ask him. I'll bet you Lewenberg has. And we'll make our picks for the American Express. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.